Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Practice Areas 101, presented by the Texas Young Lawyers Association, where we explore legal practice areas and hear from young lawyers across Texas who actually practice them. Today, we will discuss antitrust law. So set your monopoly boards aside and let's get started. I'm your host, Nick Gwynn, and I am an IP attorney in San Antonio, Texas, with the firm Gunley & Cave. I have the honor of interviewing our guests, Carrington Giamatorio and Abe Chang. Carrington is an attorney with Haynes & Boone in Dallas, Texas. She is actively involved in the University of Virginia Alumni Association and is consistently recognized as a rising star. Abe practices with Norton Rose Fulbright in Houston, Texas. He is also an alumnus of the University of Virginia and has established himself as a prolific writer in antitrust law. Welcome, y'all.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. This is going to be a lot of fun. I want to ask you both about, you know, how you got where you started. Carrington, tell us about your journey that got you to your firm and where you went to law school, Virginia, and, you know, was antitrust law the plan all along?
Yes, I would say antitrust was not the plan all along. Both my parents are actually alums of University of Virginia Law, so that wasn't really a surprise in my career path. I think early on, I was actually considering the U.S. Attorney's Office or some sort of prosecution. And then I ended up taking an antitrust class my second year with a professor who had been my con law professor. And I just really enjoyed that class. And so I wanted to keep taking with him. And once I had a chance to learn more about it, that area of law itself became really interesting to me. And so it was kind of an organic outgrowth of just wanting to follow a professor that I enjoyed.
And did you, when you completed law school, did you go straight into antitrust or was there any other work along the way?
No. So the group I'm in with Haynes & Boone now is our government investigations and securities litigation group. And so we do a little bit of everything from enforcement to antitrust to white collar. So I went directly into that group when I joined the firm.
Okay. Abe, how about you?
Sure. So antitrust was definitely not the plan all along. I went to law school at UVA with Carrington. I certainly had a great time. Hope Carrington did as well. And so I got to NRF kind of in a roundabout way, got into antitrust basically a couple weeks before OGI. That's the UVA term for on-campus interviews. I wanted some extra interview reps, so I signed up for a job fair. I went through the process there, did a couple interviews, and then when I came out, I had an offer from NRF. So I ended up going there for my 2L summer, and I just really enjoyed the group that I summered with. I picked them a little bit at random, and this was the antitrust group of NRF Houston. It just sounded interesting and I was curious, so I tried it out and I really loved the group. I loved the practice. And so, you know, that's what I stuck with. And so coming out of graduation, started with the group and just took it from there.
Abe, have there been any surprises or realizations along the way that have shaped your career?
You know, this is just more of an observation, but how much, I guess, maybe luck or chance have to do with how careers turn out. You know, I used to hear lawyers talking about their careers and how, you know, it took this winding path that, you know, is in part based on, you know, luck or some bizarre coincidence. And, you know, I used to think that's ridiculous. These people all say that. And then now here I am, you know, only 5 years in and I've already, you know, been the beneficiary of some of that. So just an appreciation of that and, you know, how blessed I am.
Absolutely. Carrington, how about you? Any surprises or realizations?
I think maybe the biggest surprise is the power of personality in law firm recruiting and the number of people that I've talked to who have ended up in a practice area that maybe wasn't their original plan just because of the experience they had during the summer and the people in the group and how that can really make a difference.
Okay. What do you think makes antitrust law unique?
I mean, I think a lot of things make it unique, but one thing that I thought about a lot is that it's, I think, one of the few practice areas where there's truly an opportunity for both litigators and transactional attorneys to really dig in and specialize. Because you can, you know, work on big antitrust lawsuits, but you can also make an entire career out of M&A counseling. And so it's an area of the law where if you're interested in the subject matter, you don't have to necessarily turn yourself into a litigator or turn yourself into a transactional attorney.
You mentioned something about the transactional and the M&A work. Is that helping clients steer away from creating issues with the FTC?
Yeah, well, what we do a lot of is merger counseling as well, and just business presentations to management groups at companies to help them learn how to spot potential antitrust issues.
Very interesting. Abe, how about you?
Sure. To elaborate on what Carrington said, I think one of the great things is you don't have to necessarily pick between lit and transactional. On the merger counseling side, you know, I've gotten the chance to work on advising clients, you know, guiding either sellers or buyers through, you know, your merger investigation, you know, DOJ and FTC for transactions of a particular size or in particular industries that are maybe a little bit more sensitive to these kinds of competitive threats. They may launch an investigation, at which point, you know, you need antitrust counsel to guide you through that process, whether that's, you know, a second request or, you know, something that's less, you know, whether it's, you know, merger filings, et cetera, you need antitrust counsel for that. So that's on the transactional side. For me, one of the most unique things about antitrust law is you have to look at things not just from a lawyer's perspective, but also from an industry participant's perspective and a consumer's perspective, right? Carrington knows this, but, you know, the central question in a lot of antitrust cases or merger reviews is, you know, what's the market? And part of that analysis is what's the product market. And so to understand that from a consumer point of view and an industry point of view, you've got to, you know, look at it from, you know, what's an acceptable substitute for this thing. You know, I think the classic example is, you know, should you include the market for parchment paper when you're looking at analysis of aluminum foil? Do folks, you know, consider these to be acceptable substitutes, right? Just looking at it from a layman's perspective, right? And, you know, how does the industry look at this? I think is something that I find to be unique to antitrust law.
That is interesting. And I think that segues into the next question I've teed up, and that is, do you focus your practice on, you know, something specific? Is it the litigation or the transactional or both? And does your practice extend beyond antitrust law? Abe, why don't you take that one?
Sure. Okay. So it really depends. My first year, I worked on basically one case. It was a big case for the whole year. I couldn't see that happening now unless, you know, we were to go to trial or arbitration or something like that for a couple weeks or months. So, you know, as a mid-level, I'm on, you know, several matters, but one might occupy my attention more than others. And my practice definitely extends beyond antitrust law. I've gotten the opportunity to, technically, I'm actually in the commercial litigation group, but within that, we have an antitrust group that's a subset of that. But I've gotten the chance to work with, you know, all sorts of commercial litigators. So whether it's, you know, False Claims Act work, you know, your standard litigation over a contract, maybe some, you know, trade secrets work. I've gotten the chance to work with a lot of folks. And it's been great.
Excellent. Carrington, how about you? What, tell us about your practice.
Yeah, I think like Abe, my practice extends beyond antitrust. I mentioned earlier that our group is the government enforcement and securities litigation group. So a lot of what I do as well is guiding companies through government investigations, whether that's the SEC or the DOJ, and also handling private securities class actions. And so it's a lot of the same skill sets that come into play, but definitely beyond antitrust.
Now, kind of digging a little bit deeper into your practice, Carrington, how do you spend, what does your typical day look like? You know, are you in court, handling phone calls, reading, meetings, you know, all of the above, none of the above?
Yeah, I think all of the above, except this year, no court in person. But generally, I'm on the phone a lot, whether that's with the partner or the client themselves, trying to hash things out. A lot of what I do, no matter the type of case I'm working on, is, you know, trying to understand the important facts and put those down in a clear way to help everyone else on the team understand what the important facts are. And as I've become more of a mid-level associate, really starting to own the strategy part of the conversation and just keeping everybody organized. So it's a lot of emails with different team members, with clients, just making sure everyone's on the same page.
Okay. Abe, how about you? What's your typical day look like?
Well, you know, I think it depends, just like with, you know, a lot of litigation or really as a lawyer, you know, just whatever you're working on at the moment. I think in general, antitrust is more of a emotions-based practice, right? So less court time than, you know, some other types of litigation. But, you know, a lot of phone calls, you know, a lot of reading, some meetings, you know, just thinking about things as, you get to be a mid-level, like Carrington was saying, you know, owning that strategy portion of it means sometimes just sitting and, you know, thinking about how you're going to approach this, you know, making recommendations to partners about how to proceed, things like that.
Regarding the motions practice and court piece, are most of your cases in federal court, or do they wind up in state court, or am I off beaten? Are they usually in state court?
Usually federal court, I think. You know, you do have your state law corollaries, but I think most people will, if they're bringing some sort of antitrust action, will end up in federal court because, you know, Sherman and Clayton Acts are federal statutes. Obviously, the state court aspect of it is, you know, you may have some your typical kind of civil procedure issues coming around, right? Like, you know, if a service appropriate, et cetera. And also, you know, states have their state law competition laws, and that those are usually the corollaries to the Sherman Act, Clayton Acts. And so you have to make sure that that's actually the case, right? There may be some, one or two differences, but for the most part, it's federal court. At least that's been my practice.
Carrington, being as specific or non-specific as you like or deem appropriate, what types of clients do you work with?
I mean, a variety of clients. I think in my practice, generally, we work with a lot of big companies, you know, Fortune 500 names that you would probably know. We also work a fair amount with the officers and directors of those companies, whether that's in an antitrust context with counseling or training, or in a more enforcement context, actually defending that officer. And so that's really been my experience.
Abe, how about you? What types of clients?
Really runs the gamut, being in Houston and all, obviously oil and gas clients, but also, you know, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, fintechs, all of which, you know, I found really interesting having to learn those particular industries.
All right. Now for the fun part. Abe, tell us the most interesting story from your practice.
You know, I was thinking about this, and, you know, sadly, I don't think I have too many of them, but I found this to be interesting. You know, we represented a pharmaceutical manufacturer where we were sued by a startup generic manufacturer, and we were co-defendants with Martin Shkreli, otherwise known as PharmaBro. So it was interesting just learning about the dynamic between, you know, brandeds and generic, that whole industry, how, you know, you once things fall off the patent cliff, brandeds kind of lose out on market share, seeing the legal framework around that, you know, Hatch-Waxman, et cetera. And then also, you know, for me, it was looking at the logistics of attending a depo in prison, right, which fortunately I didn't have to do, but just having a little bit more of that scrutiny there, that the pressure was interesting, and I found it to be rewarding.
Yeah, I will say the logistics of taking a deposition in prison are definitely a little bit different than probably our depo. Carrington, here's your chance to one up Abe. Interesting story.
Oh, she's gonna do it.
I mean, okay. Well, most interesting story, I think, writ large, was last week. I was actually out at a rail yard, actually crawling into tank cars and hopper cars. Not necessarily antitrust related, but that's what springs to the front of my mind. Antitrust
that's
related.
So much cooler.
I mean, I had a hard hat and everything. I was like, I'm gonna climb
that's
into
awesome.
This. I'm gonna climb into this rail car. Antitrust related. We were doing some counseling on distribution agreements with actually a lighting company, and so having to go through the website and see all the different types of lights and figure out, you know, who their industry competitors were, and just the amount of time and energy that went into something that felt like a law school exam question, which I think is interesting when everyone always says, you know, law school has nothing to do with the actual practice of law in terms of the practical day to day. But that really felt like I'd been very well prepared.
Excellent. That's a pretty interesting story. What advice do you have for law students or young lawyers who want to practice antitrust law? Carrington, I'll start with you.
Maybe self-evident, but I would definitely take antitrust in law school. It's really nice to have just a basic foundation when you come in as a summer associate or a first year to just know some of the language. I'd also just say talk to as many practitioners as you can, because I think you'll find that a lot of people's practice extends beyond antitrust. And so it's, I think, a little bit hard to, unless you're at a firm that really specializes in that, to find something that all day, every day, that's all you're doing. And so I think no matter what practice area people are considering, it's really important to talk to practitioners in that area to understand what they do.
Sure. Abe, what advice do you have?
I'd echo Carrington. I think it's helpful to have a leg up. You know, it's not necessary. You know, you can pick up on some of this as you go, but taking that antitrust class, getting to know the Sherman and Clayton Acts, you know, I think is helpful in school. But then the other thing I would say is work on your writing. You know, I think that's particularly important in this practice area. You end up having a lot of cases decided on, you know, motions to dismiss, motions for summary judgment. So that's something that I found particularly important, and it's something that I still work on. So that's obviously going to be a process, but, you know, get started early.
Abe, what is your favorite thing about your practice?
Antitrust never gets boring. You get a new case or a new deal, and you have to learn a completely new industry. To me, that's why I enjoy practicing law. So that's doubly so why I enjoy practicing antitrust law. There's always something new.
Carrington, how about you? What's your favorite part of the practice?
Yeah, I think I really have to echo what Abe said. I think it's a unique area of law in that you have a chance to really dig into the business practices of your client and understand them from the ground up. So you're learning so much about new industries all the time. And my other favorite thing is that I think it's an area where there's a real chance for clients to see the value add of legal counsel. It's not like they can Google the answer to their question. And so it's a chance to really act in that capacity as a counselor and an advisor and really add value to a business.
So, well, this is all terrific advice. And I know the listeners enjoy it and appreciate it. That's all the time that we have today. Thank you, both of you. Thank you to our listeners for listening. We will provide information on our panelists in the show notes. Please follow the Texas Young Lawyers Association on Instagram and Facebook at Tex Young Lawyers. Like and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. For more information on the Texas Young Lawyers Association or how to suggest or apply to be on the podcast, check out the website at tyla.org. See y'all next time.